The board of directors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has legally opposed the trademark application for the name, Issues, etc., and through its legal counsel has threatened to bring legal action against Jeff Schwarz and me. Please sign a new online petition asking the LCMS board of directors to drop its opposition to the trademark and its threat of legal action against us. You'll find a link to this petition at the top of the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Oh, it's such a blessing to see you, Mr. President. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Oh, gracious God, thank you so much.
All right, what's the question?
All right, Mr. President.
I kind of ride the middle of the road. I told you this before. I own guns, and I'm for abortion.
It's definitely built inside orthodoxy in terms of portrayal of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father is the large black African-American woman. The Holy Spirit is an Asian, and then Jesus plays himself.
They believe that every problem practically can be solved if you just had enough condoms. I call that ideology condomism.
Very busy day here at LPR. First, I must say that the day got off to a very nice start when Jim Cruda brings over not only a few donuts, but some chocolate-covered strawberries. I'll take them home to the wife. I think Craig's eaten the others. Not only that, but a beautiful Issues Etc. cake with our Issues Etc. logo on it. And, of course, a lot of other goings-on around here that I won't mention. We always start Fridays with listener email, and since we can't get to your email, we do read it. We can't get it to it so as to respond in writing to every single one. We just take a little time on Friday to respond to listener email. After we respond to that, we'll announce our Issues Etc. blog picks of the week, and then it's your chance to vote on Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's Friday, February the 20th. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or you can always email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be a guest in the second hour of the program. We'll talk to her about this California woman with octuplets and 14 kids, and then Bishop David Swadee will join us to talk about Christianity in South Africa, a compelling conversation with Bishop Swadee. Greg Kochel will round off this Friday the conclusion of our five-part daily series with him, discussing your Christian convictions. Today, philosophers call it the appeal to diffuse authority, but he calls it Rhodes Scholar, and the other tactic for discussing your Christian convictions, just the facts. Ma'am, Greg Kochel, in about an hour and a half here on Issues, etc. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. To listener email.
Beth in Kuwait writes about the PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story on Chrislam, this attempt by a pastor in Nigeria to blend Christianity with Islam. Beth says, oh, it could quite easily catch on in the United States. People love to pick and choose what they want to follow from various belief systems. Just look at Baha'i. Chrislam allows Christians to continue believing in Jesus without having to take a stand and proclaim him as Christ. More Christless Christianity. Thanks, Beth in Kuwait, for the email.
Well, it's a great insight. I mean, Chrislam would be a Christless Christianity. Any kind of hyphenated Christianity, Zen Christianity, I'm a Christian Buddhist, or any other kind of mixture of Christianity essentially must be a Christless Christianity. It'll have Jesus in there. It'll have a Jesus, but not the Christ crucified for sinners. So it's a good insight, and I agree with her that if Chrislam were to send missionaries to the United States to recruit for this mixture of Christianity and Islam, it would probably meet with some success. I think it's true.
Nathan in Little Rock, Arkansas, also writes about Chrislam. As I listened to the Chrislam story, it reminded me very much of the last battle in C.S. Lewis's Narnia series. While we have certainly heard people claiming that every person can believe what is right for himself, it is interesting that now it has gone a step further, and we have churches which are claiming to be Christian and Muslim, or Christian and Buddhist, or Christian and whatever at the same time. but we know that these gods of the culture are false and are merely counterfeits of the real thing. Indeed, these are confusing and trying times, but in the same way Lewis ended his book, we know that they are only fooling themselves and that Christ is the victor, and nothing in our culture can undo his work on the cross for us and for our salvation. We've read the book, and we know how it ends. That's Nathan in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Nathan, thank you very much. It is the natural outcome of an intentional religious pluralism. You say all religions are essentially the same, theologically. This is a common belief. And even some Christians, or those who claim to be Christians, hold this belief. All religions are essentially the same, or at least all the monotheistic religions, they're all essentially the same. Well, the natural outcome of that, the natural result of that, is not just pluralism, but what was classically called syncretism. The mixture of Christianity with other religions or religion. And Christianity doesn't survive the mixture. Just like those chemical reactions where you mix two things and you get a third thing where neither of the two constituents actually survive the mixture. Well, I don't know if you call that a mixture, some sort of a reaction, perhaps. There's a reaction when you try and mix Christianity with any other religion, philosophy, worldview, you name it. Christianity is destroyed in it. And something may be born of that reaction, but it certainly isn't anything remotely Christian.
Some feedback on your interview yesterday with Dr. Paul Zimmerman on the anniversary of the 35th anniversary, the walkout at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, the program you did on the battle for the Bible and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Tom in San Angelo, Texas writes, as an advisory delegate to the 1973 New Orleans Rivergate Convention, I recall vividly the events that precipitated the ensuing walkout from the seminary in St. Louis. I remember the angst I felt when I was sitting about 10 feet from Dr. Teachin when he gave his "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing" speech following the voting in New Orleans. Many professors at the seminary felt they were above the law, i.e. not accountable to either Scripture or the Synod. Many of the walkout students are now pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What steps were taken to ensure that the returnees were faithful to Scripture? Is there a similar professorial attitude exhibited by people in positions of prominence in the LCMS today, attitudes which are leading to the current hierarchical immunity attitude currently inflicting the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? As a student at Concordia Seward, when Dr. Zimmerman was its president, I count a privilege to have been there at the time. Thank God for men like Dr. Paul Zimmerman, Tom in San Angelo, Texas.
Well, thank God indeed. You may not have heard it in that interview. Dr. Zimmerman is 90 years old. Now, I've interviewed people of all ages, but never a 90-year-old with that kind of recall energy and a good guest. I mean, afterwards, it's like, we forget how good this guy is. Now, the emailer asks about a similar professorial attitude in the leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, I don't think it's professorial. I mean, it's not this, like it was during the time of the walkout, this, don't you know, we're seminary professors, we know better, we're educated at the best institutions in the world, and who are you to question our questioning of Holy Scripture? That is a professorial attitude in a derogatory sense. But that doesn't prevail in the leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod now, an attitude of what? Privilege, not professorial attitude, but a privilege attitude. That is, in some sense or another, well, we were elected, and therefore what we do is above criticism or beyond question. And if you don't like it, tough. I wouldn't call that professorial. I would just call that an attitude of privilege.
Do you have an answer to Tom's question? It would have been a great question to ask Dr. Zimmerman about the...
There was a process, I don't know the details of it, but it was essentially a colloquy process whereby they were brought back in and they were run through a fairly tight screen to make sure that they recanted their previous positions if they held those positions. You do need to remember that some of those students that walked out were just, they're just playing hippie for a day. Some of them continue to play hippie even though they're in their 50s and 60s. Some of them that walked out didn't actually hold the viewpoints of the professors. They just walked out because they were their professors. It was an act of loyalty, and they later returned. Some should have walked out but didn't. They're still with us today. I refer to it as kind of old-line liberalism in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They sit quietly, often operating behind the scenes, working sometimes politically, sometimes not, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to undermine the teachings of the church. They never walked out. They should have. If they were honest, they would, but they didn't. But many of those who returned never held the views of the walkout staff or faculty. They just walked out as an act of loyalty, and they were allowed to colloquize back in, and as I said, through a pretty tight screen.
But as Dr. Zimmerman pointed out yesterday, these people were entrenched at Concordia Seminary for a long time. You're just talking about
decades.
The 73 class
decades.
Of people in school at that time.
But we really
so we have
to.
People yeah. 60 plus who were educated by the Seminex faculty for decades.
Never had an opportunity to
that
walk
are in
out.
leadership positions in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod.
I mean,
today.
Really, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush here, but there were decades of classes coming out of not only Concordia Seminary, but also out of other institutions of higher learning, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, where higher criticism held sway. Decades of graduates there who were passed through teachers, pastors, and certified for public ministry, and were taught and believed the tenets of higher criticism, and some of them still to this day do. They just keep quiet about it. They just keep it to themselves. Well, when we come back from this break, we'll have more of your listener email, and then Issues Etc. blog of the week, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We play four soundbites. You get a chance to vote on all four of them. You only have to vote for one. You only get to vote for one. Why you think it should be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. And then our two of Issues Etc. We'll spend a little time with Jennifer Roback Morse talking about this California woman with 14 children, eight of them by in vitro fertilization. No, wait, all of them by in vitro fertilization. But the latest eight all came at once, octuplets. Bishop David Tswede of the Lutheran Church of Southern Africa will be our guest in the second hour as well. We'll talk about Christianity in Southern Africa, and Greg Kokel will round off his series with us, a daily series on discussing your Christian convictions today. The two tactics he wants to talk about are Rhodes Scholar, people will often say, scholars say, and just the facts, ma'am. Email your email after this.
Never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away. You sent me an email that says I love you.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The board of directors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has legally opposed the trademark application for the name Issues Etc. and, through its legal counsel, has threatened to bring legal action against Jeff Schwarz and me. Please sign a new online petition asking the LCMS board of directors to drop its opposition to the trademark and its threat of legal action against us. You'll find a link to this petition at the top of the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Darlene Wood, Gerald Peterson, Pastor Richard Bonke, Pastor Greg Griffith, Pastor Frederick Wood, Frank Chiampa, Pastor Thomas Phillips, Pastor Lloyd Bickle, William Jordan, and Rebecca Cowley. Thanks for your support.
Darwin was part of the inspiration for Adolf Hitler, 20 million dead. If Darwin influencing Karl Marx, another 100 million. The abortion on demand movement comes directly from Darwin, 35 million and counting.
For many feminists, there's this idea that the 20s are this time of utter and complete freedom so that you can live out all those teenage fantasies that apparently one decade isn't enough to contain.
When he starts losing, he wants to act like he's more spiritual than you, and this is just passive-aggressive nonsense.
Islam is a religion of peace, of love.
It's nothing foreign to a Muslim to believe in Jesus.
Bible, Quran are saying the same thing.
Just a little taste of our sound bites that we're going to lay in front of you here in about 10 minutes. Issues, etc. sound bites for you to play. Issues, etc. sound bite of the week. You can hear them all on the web at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, they're there. Or just stay tuned. We'll be playing them for you in about 10 minutes here on Issues, etc. Right now, listener email.
Time for our weekly disclaimer during this segment. We simply apologize, can't reply to all your email, even on the air either. So if you want a sure shot way to respond, call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. I think we'll save some time next week so we've got a lot of comments to get to.
Good.
And secondly, an update, Randy Moore Repair Service, season over. Lost a doubleheader Wednesday night, 1-2, 1-4, we lost.
The season is really, really over.
It is, but we start the YMCA League, I think, in a week, and Justin got invited to try out for a St. Louis Jets team, an AAU team, and made the team, so which I won't be coaching, thank goodness.
All right. I have to mention something before we do more email, and this only cuts into email time, but I really have to mention it. During the break, Craig is known as a bachelor. I won't call him a confirmed bachelor yet because confirmed bachelor means there's not a chance.
Don't do it.
He still has a chance.
We're trying to get him married. Don't do it.
I'm beginning to believe that this is a hopeless case here, that this is a guy who doesn't want to get married under any circumstances. Kate Winslet is on the cover of Time magazine for Best Actress, and Kate Winslet is a beautiful woman, and the picture is a flawless picture of Kate Winslet. I'm sorry.
Not flawless, according to Mr. Feichtinger.
Not good enough for Craigie.
No,
not good enough for Craigie. Kate Winslet is not good enough for Craig. What, did he find some flaw in her flawless appearance?
He did not like the picture. Couldn't they give a better picture? I mean, is it possible for Kate Winslet to take a bad picture? I don't know.
This is
defend yourself, Mr.
This
Feichtinger.
Is yet reason what? By now, reason 47, 48, why Craig may never marry.
Well, I was going to leave it alone, but I have to step over to the mic. It just, the picture looks like she's mad. That's all. I just said to Jeff, I said,
well, if you're going to get married, you better get used to that look, boy.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure.
All right.
You want to get back to email?
Absolutely. Let me
tell you, though, about the doubleheader loss.
Okay.
I shared this with you, how I spent that night. We did our prayers with the Schwartz family, tucked them in. I proceeded to get a couple of Bud Selects out and played an endless loop of Bob Seger's Beautiful Loser, followed by another endless loop of Little River Band's Lonesome Loser.
Over and
I felt
over
much
again.
Better. Felt much better. It's very therapeutic. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's therapeutic.
More on the battle for the Bible in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod program yesterday. Dennis in St. Louis, he said, on the program yesterday, Dr. Zimmerman said it was the Synod who would not condone false doctrine from the seminary professors who were teaching it, and the Synod was the policing body in this matter. What I would like to know is, where does that leave us today? Our Synod is the offending party by condoning practice that does not confess our faith, and all the while boldly confessing we believe nothing to worry about here. Who will be the policing body now? That's Dennis from St. Louis.
Well, I think Dr. Zimmerman, I mean, if you want my honest opinion, Dr. Zimmerman told us yesterday at the very end of that excellent interview he did on the old battles in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I think he gave us the answer for the new battles, and that is the lay people. Ultimately, it will have to be the lay people. The laymen and women of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, rightly taught by God's Word and the Lutheran Confessions, who will be the voice of reason and ultimately of truth in this situation, because Synod Inc. does endorse and permit all manner of things that are out of keeping with Lutheran teaching and practice. It will be the lay people. It was then. It will be now. And why? Because the lay people are armed with the most powerful instrument ever, the Word of God.
Well, pastors aren't armed with it?
Well, they're armed with it. But some pastors have gone over to the other side. They've defected. But it will be the lay people, I think, ultimately, that will be the voice of reason and truth.
That's pressure on you and me, Craigie.
Yeah.
Regarding the octuplet mom, Dave in West Virginia writes, it was irresponsible of the fertility specialist in the first place to attempt to stimulate this young lady's ovaries or allow an in vitro fertilization in the first place. It is not in the best interest of the potential child or children for the mother to attempt to become pregnant outside of wedlock, not to mention also unemployed and with no means to provide for the physical needs of the children. They should have never begun the process in the first place. The responsible thing for the young lady to do is to give the children up for adoption, all 14 children, writes Dave in West Virginia.
Well, I think that is one option for this woman. She's not going to do it. She has already said many times that she plans on raising these children. I think it's kind of a streetcar named Desire thing going on with her. I've always relied on the kindness of strangers, and she's going to have to, because 14 children, no job, and no father in the picture is a pretty bleak picture, at least fiscally, for her and her family. I think it would be responsible for her to, now that the situation is what it is, if she wants to raise these children, to try and find some permanent means of supporting herself and the kids. I don't know that she needs to put them all up for adoption. That may be an option. I don't think she's going to do it. I think it would be... remember, many of these kids have lived with her their whole lives. They're not young children. They're kids in grade school and things like that. Put them all up for adoption. Leave their mom. I think there's some solution in between that and raising them all with no job.
What was I thinking about?
I don't know. You had a really intense look on your face. But
I don't know. I just drew a blank. All right. This comes from Mike in Green River, Wyoming. Being from the Wyoming District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, I am rather skeptical of the Lutheran Hour and their ties with the Lutheran Layman's League. Do you know if the Lutheran Hour Men's Network is a replacement for the Lutheran Layman's League? And if so, have they changed their view to a more conservative, traditional, confessional view? Or are they still holding to a liberal viewpoint on doctrine, writes Mike in Green River, Wyoming?
I do not know. I do not know. It's my first to hear about any men's network. I mean, we must say that the original idea of the Lutheran Layman's League, that is a network of men throughout the entire church body who had kind of two goals, to generally support the league and to specifically support the Lutheran Hour in its broadcast across the nation. It's a brilliant idea. It's an old school idea. That doesn't mean it's bad. It is an old school idea that may not work with new school people, that is post-baby boomers. It worked beautifully with the Greatest Generation and with the Builder Generation. It worked beautifully with them. It was a great idea. And it remains to be seen whether or not it can remain a good idea. But don't know anything about the men's network.
It's a new venture that they have going on.
Maybe it's another way of branding the old league. You know, league sounds now like Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. That's what it sounds like to most people. In my generation, you say, let's join the league. I think, you know, the Super Friends or the League of Justice or whatever.
League of Justice, yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Christina writes regarding our series on men in church. I recently watched The Prince Caspian, the second of the Chronicles of Narnia series films by Disney. Aslan, the obvious metaphor for Christ, is very masculine in this movie and the first. He fights, he roars, he accepts death, and is at the same time very gentle and kind. I never would have noticed this without your commentary on the emasculated Jesus from last week's show. That's Christina.
And it's true. What Lewis captured so beautifully in the Chronicles of Narnia was one of those aspects of Christ. A famous line there is, Aslan is not a tame lion or something like that. This notion that the God we worship cannot be tamed. And one of the ways that a modern American pop culture has tamed, and I should say to a greater degree, modern American pop Christianity has tamed God, or attempted to, is by emasculating Jesus. And you can't read Lewis and get an emasculated Aslan or Christ figure there. Why was Lewis able to do this? He was able to do it because he was sticking with the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus that appeals to pop culture.
The reason for the blank stare, Pastor Charlie Lehman at St. John's Lutheran Action in Maryland emailed and said, there is hope for Craig, and it's his wedding picture. So,
oh, by the way, I must say about Charlie Lehman's wedding pictures, which I glanced at last week. Charlie Lehman, often a guest on this program. We reviewed a number of his sermons, and he's a guest now and again. Finally,
the only vicar to have a sermon reviewed on Issues, etc.
Correct. And he finally got married at long last. And from reviewing the wedding pictures, and then it looked like honeymoon pictures. They had hundreds taken, apparently. He did really well. Old Charlie did really well. He married above his pay grade. Is that how you say it? What do you always say, Jeff? Married out of your league? I did.
My line is, you overachieved in the marriage department.
Yeah, well, so Charlie did too. As much admiration as I have for Charlie, he overachieved there. And congratulations to the couple. By the way, also congratulations to Herb Miller, who was with us not only a little earlier in the week, but yesterday. And we saw him yesterday in conjunction with a conversation with Bishop Swadee. I think he was reelected this morning, the president of the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congratulations to Herb. 3 more years of mucking out the stalls. Yeah. All right, when we come back, Blog of the Week and Soundbite of the Week.
No infomercials for LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Pastor Donovan Heithold Jr., Susan Furo, Susan Hammond, Dr. John Edward France, Andy Wright, Mary Provance, Pastor Kevin Keister, Pastor J.R. Jones, Jared Hansen, and Pastor Lloyd Wilweber. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
My good friend and pro-life colleague in London recently brought something interesting to my attention. The British government is underwriting an effort to get pregnant women not to smoke. The literature notes that just 3 weeks after conception, not smoking is the best decision for you and your growing baby. At 8 weeks, it says, the baby is now called a fetus, meaning young one. But at the same time, government-funded literature offering abortion during pregnancy, even for late-term abortions, refers to the killing of the unborn baby simply as removing the pregnancy from the uterus. Somehow, when the baby is wanted, it's called young one. But when it's to be killed and discarded by abortion, it's only called a pregnancy. Even so, in their hearts, mothers know the truth.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.